from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, to the matter at hand. Caleb Johnson, what did you see from Zachary Risache last night?
Well, Chris, I feel like it was all good things. I saw a guy who was not afraid to attempt some threes, and even though they may not have all fallen like he would want them to, I thought the shot selection was really good. Then I saw him go left-handed dunk after he flew past Alex Sarr, and at multiple points in the game, some really good point of attack defense. I think there are plenty of things that Zachary Risache has to work on, but there was just so many promising things that I feel like we saw last night. There was nothing that I saw that made me go like, oh no, what have the Hawks done taking Zachary Risache number one? And I think a lot of people wondered about that, because Summer League is such a time when everything gets overblown. If you remember when Trae Young was in Summer League back in 2018, when he went out to Utah and then to Vegas, he did not shoot the ball particularly well. And obviously at that point in his career, the defense was pretty abysmal. And so people started making a whole lot of assumptions about him. I think the good thing that happened with Risache last night is that it was consistent. And the good news for all of us in Atlanta, if you do the comparison of, well, how was Zachary Risache's first game out versus Alex Sarr's, you'd have to say that Risache played better, and I think that makes everyone feel pretty good.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I think Risache displayed a lot more versatility than Sarr, and that's probably why the Hawks chose him number one. At least that's part of the reason that Landry Fields said they did, but we'll get to him in a minute, Caleb, because yikes. But let's talk about something that I thought was a pleasant surprise, and that was the sort of crafty, very high basketball IQ, more than one play from the second-round pick, Juricic.
Oh, man, Nikola Juricic is so much fun. First off, he's fun to talk to, which always just makes the job a lot easier. But he is so much fun to watch play. And he's actually someone that a lot of us media members who came out here from Atlanta talked about and said, if there's going to be anyone who really just takes the stage and really kind of shows out during the summer league, it's going to be Juricic. And this is happening mainly because of the Kobe Bufkin injury, because I think otherwise you might have seen a bit of a different lineup. Juricic might have come off the bench, or just not wouldn't have been the primary ball handler like he was and like he will be, I think, for the rest of Summer League. I think some of the things that caused him to be a second-round pick still showed up. The fact that he's still a bit erratic with the ball, and the fact that, you know, sometimes the shot selection is like, okay, maybe don't be the hero and instead pass the ball out or, you know, try to find something different. But there is a lot to like with Jurčić, and just the fact that he has a really high motor. So he's just always on the go, always trying to press. And that shows up on both ends of the floor, as that was the most eye-opening thing, not only for Jurčić, but just this Hawks team as a whole in Summer League, is like, man, how much have we talked about this team needs defense, and specifically point of attack defense. And that seemed to look really, really, really good last night until later in the game, when I think Washington got on a little bit of a hot streak. And the Hawks just weren't able to answer quite in the same flow of the game to end things out.
Talking with our buddy Caleb Johnson here, Hawks reporter, who was at the game last night watching Jurčić and Zachary Risacher do their thing on the Wade4.com hotline. With you till 6:30, Atlanta United pregame comes your way then. All right, big picture here, Caleb. What are the Hawks doing at the two-guard spot?
Yeah, that's one of those things that I think right now it's Bogey. I think that is going to be the way that they address it in the, you know, immediate future. I'm very curious to see what the Hawks do with Nico and whether or not this is a guy who sticks around on the roster or if he's someone that the Hawks decide to stash, which is still, as much as everyone's very excited with, you know, the performance that he's put on and the excitement of what he can bring, there is still a lot of players on this roster. And so, you know, they'd have to make some changes in order for Nico to be on this team. Other than that, I think obviously, you know, you're going to have your Dyson Daniels, you're going to have your Garrison Matthews as a part of this rotation. I think it's not going to have the same lore and the same name recognition that obviously, you know, we saw from DeJounte Murray for last couple of years. But that doesn't mean that just because his offensive production isn't going to be with this team that they're going to get significantly worse or anything like that. I think it's just a matter of what you get improvement-wise with Dyson Daniels and his defense. You're still going to get that shooting ability with Bogey. And then these other pieces that are on the team are just going to kind of have to fill in, you know, as they go. And as Quinn Snyder eventually, you know, decides what he wants to do. And then, I mean, there still is, it's very unlikely, but there still is the possibility that the Hawks could sign someone or that they could trade and get someone who's going to be more in that role, or potentially a backup three or something along those lines. You know, so there's still options on the table. It's just not as exciting as the name recognition that the Jonte had.
All right, let's get to the elephant in the room here, Caleb. What the heck did Landry Fields say when he was asked by Allison Mestrangelo of WSB TV about the long-term viability of Trae Young in Atlanta? I'm at a loss for words, so I'll just let you try to explain it to me.
So I'm going to try to bring some rationale to this, and that doesn't mean that is 100% fact of what happened, but this is from my perspective, being at that press conference when we were talking with Landry Fields. And it was just kind of a general question about what the roster was going to look like, which, of course, at this early juncture, like, Landry is not going to get into any specifics. And Landry is great at GM wordsmithing, you know, of just kind of saying things without actually saying anything. And so Allison, doing her job, just asked specifically of like, well, hey, you know, is Trae Young a part of those plans? And I feel like what I saw from Landry was him just kind of laughing off the idea of like, you know, it's not like he's going to tell us anything groundbreaking in that interview. It's not like he's going to say, well, Trae isn't in our plans anymore, or Trae is 100% in our plans moving forward. And so he just kind of did the GM thing of we value all of our players. And then I think what threw a lot of people off was him referring back to DeJounte, who he had been asked about in a previous question. And so people are like, well, wait, if you value DeJounte and you traded him, doesn't that mean that you could potentially trade Trae, which has always been the case? It's just not very likely because what you traded DeJounte Murray for, people have debated of, you know, whether it was good value or not. I believe it is. But after that, trading Trae, I mean, he is the franchise cornerstone. And so that, whatever they get in return is going to be under a microscope. My opinion is that I think Trae and the front office, the Hawks front office, are playing chicken with one another. Neither one wants to be the person to come out and say, hey, we want to trade him, or hey, I want to be traded. But I think they mutually want to go that direction at some point. Whether it's this summer, whether it's at the upcoming trade deadline once the season begins, once next season is over with. It's just one of those kind of awkward situations where I don't think it's, you know, terribly irreparable or anything like that. It's just, I think we all know what's eventually going to happen. It's just a matter of if it happens right now or not, because there's no real incentive to be in a rush to trade Trae, because the assets that you're going to get, probably further down in the future, maybe you could play up and get something better for him later on, or, because you don't have your pick next year. And that's kind of, you know, this whole thing. So there's no real reason to tank next year like a lot of teams would, because it doesn't help you out with your own personal draft stock. And they've already got, you know, one, maybe two picks if the Kings make the playoffs next year.
Okay. Great explanation. And I appreciate the in-depth analysis that you just gave to the question. But Landry, I mean, it's just the worst, in my opinion, Caleb, it's just the worst possible message you could send to a fan base, to the media, to Trae Young's camp. When you just turned around and traded DeJounte Murray and you're asked about, as you said, the cornerstone piece of your franchise, and you just stumble for 15 seconds talking about this, that, and the third. Like, lie to me at that point, Caleb. Tell me that Trae Young is the cornerstone of your franchise and that he is the guy that's going to be here long term. And then if you turn around and trade him, so what? We all knew it was going to be on the table anyway. I just can't fathom the rationale behind that choice and the way to answer that question. I simply can't, Caleb.
I think it's one answer in the greater scale of Landry's done a lot of talking about how much they like Trae and how much, you know, they want him to be a part of this organization in the past. I just think that specific instance was one where he was maybe caught a little bit off guard at the, I don't want to say the attempt at a gotcha, but at like at a, are you going to give us, you know, some really in-depth thing right here? Like, you know, yes or no, are you in or out on Trae? And instead, he, like I said, he kind of laughed off. He was smiling the whole time of being like, you know, we value all of our guys. So it was just,
But as the GM, Caleb, and I know you're not answering for them, you're just giving me your opinion on what you think happened, but as the GM of the team, how can you be caught off guard by that question? You really don't think Landry, Tony Ressler, Steve Koonin, everybody that collectively gets together in those meetings, you didn't think the media was going to ask you about the future of Trae Young in the first public time we're hearing you speak in that way before Summer League since trading DeJounte Murray in the setting that they were in? This was the first time we really, you guys, I know he spoke once before, but this you said was a general meeting about the state of the team and where things are. You didn't think that question was going to be asked? Come on.
I think he just opted for the playing it safe of just being like, we like everyone. That's typical GM kind of thing that, well, now has given us a bunch of fodder to overreact to, I think, quite honestly.
Yeah, and I get it, but I think when all eyes are on you like that, like, we are going to talk about it. Of course we are. Yeah. Like, what, as the media, what do you think we're going to talk? Am I going to talk about the quote where he says that we're in a roster crunch or what he likes about? I'm looking at my cut sheet right now, Caleb, and for those not inside radio, that means the sound that I have available to play throughout the show. Which quote do I care about most? We're in a roster crunch, what he likes about Dyson Daniels, or is Trae Young in the plans for the future of the Hawks? As a radio host, which one am I going to play, right? You know?
Fair. No, it's totally fair. And, I mean, look, I tried to ask about the DeJounte Murray trade and asking, like, did he view that as a failure? And I think he handled that in a very GM way where he was like, oh, no, we don't regret that at all. And, actually, we would do that trade again. And I think – I don't know that he actually believes that, quite honestly. It's so – it's just part of the games that, you know, media and front offices play. And this was the latest one. And so I wouldn't be surprised if the next time that we talk to him, if he is super supportive of Trae once they have completely worked past, like, no deal is going to happen right now. But I think as long as something is potentially on the table and someone could shock Landry and give him a deal, then he goes with these play it safe and say nothing while people think he's saying something. You know, it's just it's a weird game.
Yeah, I know. Are you going to be there for the game on Sunday?
I'll be there.
All right, my friend. Well, in that case, we're looking forward to catching up with you next week. Hopefully more good things from the likes of Risa Shea and Yurcich and Mo Gay and the gang. But for now, it's as the world turns in regards to Landry Fields and the future of Trae Young. Caleb, enjoy it, my friend. Appreciate the time.
Yes, sir. You have a good one.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.